Welcome to XP Ministries. This recording is under copyright laws and cannot be replicated. This file is licensed for one user only and cannot be duplicated without written permission. We pray that this recording will bless and empower you.
I'd like you all to turn in your notes to lesson 4 in your manuals, and we're going to talk about the subject of faith today and how faith is the substance that we operate in that connects to heavenly glory and all the promises of the Lord. And in our last sessions, we talked about the cross being the doorway into heavenly glory because of the covenant that God made with man at the cross 2,000 years ago. All of heaven, all the essence of who God is and what he has was given to us through the finished work of the cross. All the promises that you find in the Word are yes and amen for every believer. And as those promises are quickened to you and you receive the revelation of those, and we'll be talking about that more, then that becomes yours to lay hold of and yours to move in. And that's why the longer you spend with the Lord, the more revelation you receive, because he gives you understanding and downloads and insights into the truth of the kingdom. And so that all happened as a result of the finished work of the cross. And we also looked at in a previous lesson about the new creation realities, that because of the work of the cross, when we accept Jesus into our heart and we accept him as our Savior, that we become a brand new creation. And in our new life, we are actually heavenly beings. We are spiritual beings that are acquainted with the heavenly glory and have the ability to walk in the fullness of that glory as we walk in it by faith. We also learned about the importance of following the person of the Holy Spirit. When we're engaging inside of spiritual encounter, kingdom encounter, heavenly encounters, we're not going to just say, oh, I think, you know, I'll just do my own thing. I'm going to jump in a chariot, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. But we work in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And he leads us, and he is the one who guides us. So when we're engaging in spiritual activity, encounter, embracing the promises of the unseen dimension, we must understand that this is all born out of relationship. It's not just out of head understanding, head knowledge, or determining out of our soul realm what we're going to do, but in partnership with the Holy Spirit, waiting for him to lead, or giving us the green light of grace upon our desires, that we work with him to move forward into the fullness of everything that God has for us. So that's where we've come to up until now. So this morning, we want to talk about the faith connection and how it's this substance of faith, this kingdom essence, that gives you the ability to bring what's in the unseen realm into the seen realm. And when you understand this, it'll make a lot of things make sense to your understanding, because it's actually quite simple. And we have, of course, we're just going to do one lesson on faith here, but I have actually a whole CD set called The Faith Connection, and it goes into more detail on that. And I would say just, you know, really do whatever it takes to strengthen your faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so that'll be an extra tool that can help you. Now, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles with me to Hebrews, Hebrews 11. And you might want to meditate actually on this scripture throughout the week, or over the next year, or throughout your whole lifetime. Because this is a real key. If you can understand this, your life will go into so much more ease and rest. But it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen, or the evidence of the unseen realm. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of the things that are not seen, or the unseen realm. So I want you to really get a hold of that particular scripture and meditate on it and study it out. But let's talk about hope for a few moments. The scripture says that there's three things that abide in the realm of time right now that are the kingdom essence, and that is faith, hope, and love. The greatest being love, and faith works through love. So love needs to be our greatest aim. But what is this little substance called hope? I think a lot of times we think hope is wishful thinking. Like, we kind of use it like, oh my gosh, I've got bills, but I sure hope they get paid for. Well, that's not really hope, because in that kind of a statement, you can hear the unbelief in that, can't you? You can think, oh, I'm overwhelmed by what I have, but maybe, possibly, only if something would happen. And we tend to call that hope, but that is not hope. Hope is a joyful expectation of something good that is coming. For example, if someone were to share with you that they had a heavenly experience and that they had come into an understanding that all Christians could enter into those types of encounters with the Lord, hope would get excited about that. Hope would respond like this. Wow, really? I want to find out more about that because it looks like I could have that. That's what hope is. Hope isn't, oh man, you always get, oh, maybe one day I could have it. Oh, I sure wish I could have something like that. That's wishful thinking with a negative tone. Hope is, wow, really? Tell me more. Hope and faith are different, and we'll look at that more throughout this teaching, because when you're in faith, you actually have the substance. When you move from hope into faith, faith already secures what has been promised, whether it's manifest in the natural or not. When you're in faith, you know that you know that you know. Melissa, you know that your name is Melissa, right? You believe that your name is Melissa. You don't hope it's Melissa. You know it's Melissa, right? Because she knows. Faith has that knowing. How many of you know that you're born again? Can anyone say to you, you're not born again? No, because you know that you are, right? If anyone told you that, you wouldn't think, really? You know, you wouldn't respond like that. What? I'm not born again? Oh, I thought I was. And if you're in that place, come and see me after this meeting and we'll get you born again. Because when you're in faith, You know. But hope isn't quite there yet. If you were to first hear the gospel and someone said, you know, you could have all your sins forgiven, and you got excited about that like I did when I first heard, like when I heard the testimonies of people having their sins forgiven, I thought, well, I wonder, maybe I could have my sins forgiven. Maybe God could love me like that too. And I started getting this excitement on the inside of me rising up. That is hope. That is hope. When you hear about third heaven encounter, about ascending and descending, you know, and you think, what? All believers can have that? Oh, I can hardly wait. I'd love to have that. That is hope. It's a joyful expectation. It's not, oh man, everybody gets it. Maybe one day I could have it. That's not hope. I sure wish I could have it. Wishing is not hope. Hope is a joyful expectation. Now what faith is the substance. It is the reality of what you hope for. When you come into faith, when it moves from hope into faith, you already have it, whether it's manifest or not. When you came from hope into faith concerning your salvation, there was a point when you just knew that you knew that you knew. I remember after I got born again, I'd been involved in the New Age and the occult before I got saved, and I was on a search looking for some answers, and when I finally got Jesus, oh my gosh, I knew my search was over. I knew that I knew that I knew. He's the one I'm looking for, and there's nothing like him. And by the way, many Christians are afraid of the supernatural because they're afraid it's the occult or the New Age. And source is everything. You always have to know your source. And things can be sourced in the flesh, it can be sourced in a demon spirit, it can be sourced in many things, but we're looking for the source of Jesus Christ. We want only what he gives, right? And I'm going to tell you, the New Age and the occult, it is just lame. And if you've been in it, you know that it's just lame. It is like a very poor counterfeit. Right. And when you get the real thing, there's no contest. The moment you meet Jesus, it's like, whoa, he's different. And so I went to my friends that had been in the New Age and the occult, and I said to them, I said, well, you know, I had all my sins forgiven. Jesus is in my heart, and I don't need any of these other things anymore because he's enough. He's everything. And they said, how do you know that? And I said, I don't know. I just know. And they said, well, that doesn't make any sense. I said, well, the Bible says that he's Lord. I hadn't read the Bible yet, but, you know, I was told that that's what the Bible said. I said, well, the Bible says that he's Lord. And they said, yeah, but, you know, man wrote the Bible. That's what they thought. Holy Spirit inspired it. And I said, well, I don't know. I just know. They said, but you can't. How can you know? And I said, I just know. I didn't realize it, but it was faith. Yes. When you're in faith, you know. Now, I hadn't, you know, ascended into heaven and seen my name written in the book of life or anything like that yet. I hadn't even hardly read a scripture. But I knew because I was in faith. You couldn't tell me that I wasn't saved. And you couldn't tell me that Jesus wasn't Lord. People tried, but it didn't work because I believed that he was. It was impossible to tell me he wasn't Lord because I had faith inside of me. Faith knows. Faith is the substance. It is the reality of what you hope for. It's different than hope. Hope is your expectation. It's good to have hope. Hope will springboard you into faith most of the time because you'll seek it out. And seek out the scripture and seek out the Lord to find out what's true about something, because the moment faith is birthed in you, you know, you've got it, even before it manifests. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of the unseen, things not seen. What's not seen? Well, the throne room, we can't see with our natural senses, can we? We can't see the throne room, but we know it's real. How do we know it's real? We know it's real because the Bible describes it to us and the Holy Spirit quickens it to us. Now, when you read the Word and in the Word you see things that aren't manifest in the natural yet, but the Spirit's quickening your heart to see that that's a reality, the moment that you get that, it's yours. It becomes evidence. Your faith is evidence. Do you know that I know that there's a throne room because the evidence is my faith? I know I can ascend because the Holy Spirit showed me the word concerning it, and it went from hope into faith. I saw it. I knew I had it. I knew I have the ability for it. And even though it's an unseen thing, it's in the unseen dimension, it is a reality to me. It's an actual substance. The ability to ascend and descend is a reality to me because it is the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things that you cannot see. I know that there are angels in this room right now. Angels are here. I know that. Can I see them with my natural vision? Can I feel them with my natural touch right now? No, I can't right now. I can't do that right now. But I still believe they're here. I know they're here. You can't tell me they're not here. Why? Because the Lord showed me his word on it. Angels are encamped around the righteous, and there's a lot of righteous here. So there's angels encamped here. The Lord showed me that scripture. It became a reality inside. The faith is the evidence of the unseen realm. I know Jesus is in this room. He's here. I saw him in a vision yesterday. Got up this morning and meditated on that vision again and welcomed him back in. I said, you just stay right there. You just stay on your throne in that meeting. We like you there as the King of Glory. Now, how do I know he's here? I can't see him with my natural senses. I can't touch him with my natural feel. I can't hear him with my natural hearing. How do I know he's here? Because faith is the evidence of what I can see in the natural, of what's not manifest into the natural realm. My faith tells me he's here. The Bible says that wherever two or more are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. The word will always confirm what you believe. It will birth what you believe and confirm what you believe. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, this is so important for you to understand. The supernatural realms of glory are for every single Christian to embrace. I don't agree with this hierarchy teaching that sometimes creeps into our minds that says that only special people can do this. Only special people can have that. Now, I understand that God's appointed some in the body to equip the body. I understand that. But the equipping ministers in the body are to empower and equip the body to do all the stuff that's been given to them. It's never meant to be a spectator sport. The body of Christ was never meant to have their superheroes in a pulpit and they sit down and applaud them. The fivefold ministry gifts outlined in Ephesians 4 are raised up by God and appointed, set in position as servants to the rest of the body to equip, to impart, and to empower the body to do the work of the ministry. An apostle's greatest job is not to do all the apostolic work, although they will, by nature of that gift, operate apostolically. Their greatest calling is to equip the whole body to be apostolic. A prophet's primary area of serving in the body is not to do all the prophesying, although they prophesy. Their primary gifting is to empower the body. The whole body should be prophesying. The whole body is supposed to be hearing the voice of God and being a spokesman for Him to release the glory of the Lord in the earth. The whole body is. The primary purpose of an evangelist in the body is not to go out and do all the crusades. It's to teach, equip, and empower the body to go and win the lost. And to herald the glad tidings of whatever the fresh word of the Lord is. It's not just soul winning. Ho. The primary gifting of the teacher is not to do all the theological studying, but to teach the body how to unpack the scriptures theologically so they can have the proper understanding of what the scriptures say to confirm what God is doing. Every Christian should be able to, even though we're not all theologians, we should all be apt to study out that word so that we can give an account to others for what we believe. And we should all be seasoned in the Word of God. And especially in an era like right now where there's going to be a lot of experience and a lot of encounters and a lot of subjective things going on, you need to be anchored in the Word of God. And I can't say that enough. And the teacher is to teach the body the importance of that and to teach them how to study out the word. The pastor isn't supposed to be the CEO of a church. The pastoral gifting is to nurture and disciple and cover and parent believers, but his primary or her primary gifting is to impart that so that the whole body will become nurturers and apt to disciple and care for others so that the whole body goes and does the work of the ministry. And as the Holy Spirit leads us, we will have those different gifts operating. And so in a season where there's so much supernatural operation, it's not to be a time when the body sits back and shows up at meetings where the supernatural is flowing. No, we are supposed to be supernatural beings that release the supernatural. And so it's primarily that we all do it. We just need our eyes open to the Word of God to see who we are. I remember years ago, in the early part of the charismatic renewal, there was a lot of believers that thought only special people could prophesy. You had to have a special unction to be able to prophesy. And then Bill Hammond comes along, and he gets this revelation out of the Word, no, you may all prophesy one by one. And he trains the whole body how to prophesy, puts a teaching out there. And nowadays, most Christians who are filled with the Spirit will believe that they can operate in all the gifts of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's in us and the gifts are inherent in Him. And so as you follow Him, those gifts will be utilized by our faith. It's the same with the supernatural. The supernatural, yes, there are some forerunners in the operation of it, but it's just a model for you what you can all do. It's for the whole body. And it all gets imparted through the Holy Spirit showing you things. And when you believe it and start walking in it by faith, you'll see it manifest. It's usually first in the unseen, then it'll manifest in the natural. And we'll cover that on a few of our lessons throughout this school. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, you cannot please God. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, you can't see God with your natural senses. You can't hear him most of the time with your natural senses, but we believe that he is. Why? Because it's been revealed to us. So we believe he is real and he is our God. We know that by faith. And that is the kind of faith that pleases God. And also that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. He's a good God, in other words. He's not there waiting to just, you know, strike your name out of the book of life or whatever. He is a good God and he is a rewarder when you seek him, when you're under his covering. Every man, it says in Romans 12:3, every man, it doesn't say every Christian, it says every man has a measure of faith. So everyone has faith. Do you know that the unsaved also have faith? There are unsaved businessmen that operate their businesses on faith, and they're successful because they understand the principle of believing. I know of secular companies, they have nothing to do with the Lord. There's not one believer in them. And they're teaching businesses how to prosper using belief systems, believing in themselves, believing in the vision. What they're doing is they're taking that measure of faith. You see, we were created in the image of God. We were created in the likeness of God. Every person was, whether you're a Christian or not. You were created in his image. And God is a faith God. It says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith. And so our God is a faith God. And he, when he created mankind, he put faith in us. When I used to nurse, before I ever got saved, I would nurse people. And sometimes people that were fighting critical illnesses, you could tell when they were going to go home to glory because they lost faith. And it had nothing to do with the Lord. It was just like they stopped believing that they could win the battle. And as soon as they lost faith, they'd go like that. And we all knew that. It was just a principle that we just knew. As soon as they lost faith, that was it. It was just a matter of a couple days and they were gone to glory. Or wherever. Hopefully to glory. I wasn't saved then, so I don't know. As soon as I got saved, I led every patient I had to the Lord. But every man has that measure of faith. Now, when Christ comes into your life, when you invite Jesus into your life, you get his faith. You get the same faith that Jesus operated in when he worked the miracles, the signs, the wonders, when he fed the multitudes, when he walked on water. The same faith Jesus had comes into you when you're born again. When you receive Jesus, you get his faith on the inside of you. Not just the faith that's inside of every person that they can operate to believe with, but you actually get holy faith, Christ's faith. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have it. In verse 22, it says, have faith in God. The actual translation means have God's faith. Because when you have that faith, when you pray, you believe that you receive and you have it. That's what that kind of faith does. And it brings about the miraculous results. And so when you're born again, you have the faith of Jesus. That's why it says in Jude, It says praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith. What is the most holy faith? It's not human faith. It's God's faith. It's the faith that's in your spirit, man. It's the faith that can believe for the miraculous and the supernatural. It's the faith that can see a massive project that it's impossible for you to do and say, I can do all things through Christ because he strengthens me, because this holy faith is on the inside of you and it rises up and you can see it. It's a done deal. That's holy faith. That's God's faith. And when you're born again, you have that faith. When you're operating in God's faith, you'll have victory. It says in 1 John 5, it says that this is the victory that overcomes the world system, even our faith. That's why when we're operating in the supernatural, we're not concerned with what's going on in the earth around us. We're not concerned about those things or the structures or the economic structures or the political structures, because we are above that. We operate in a different realm. This is the victory that overcomes the world and its system, even our faith. There's going to be economic collapse and disaster in the earth. Glory to God. I can hardly wait to see it crumble. Because I'm planning for it, because I see a different economy. Kingdom economy is different, and I'm seasoning myself to walk in that because I believe it, I see it, and I believe it. I'm sowing into that economy right now. When everything else crashes, that's when we shine. Amen? Same with political structures. I mean, kingdoms are going to be shaken. If you're trusting politics to make a nation thrive, even though I believe Christians need to bring light into every area of society, including the political realm. But if you're trusting the political systems of the world to bring peace, you got another thing coming. We have to operate in a different system because we have a king who is governor over all, that we are personally acquainted with, that we can operate in a different system. So even if a nation collapses under a natural political system, we don't. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I've got a king that'll never collapse. I serve a government system that'll never collapse because it's eternal. And that's why Paul exhorted us to think on those things above where Christ is seated and not on the things of the earth, because our faith is operative within that realm of truth and eternal substance rather than in the natural realm. When you're in faith, you can create things that are not. We're seeing lots of creative miracles these days. We're hearing lots of testimonies about them, because there can be something that is not, but when you call it into being, it can come into manifestation. You take it from the unseen realm into the natural. We do that in every glory school. When we ascend into the heavens, God gives things to students in the unseen realm. They just take it by faith. They don't take it with their natural senses. And I'll give you a way out story on one. This was one of the most way out ones that I had heard of, because I thought this is probably going to be offensive to some, but it was so awesome. This young man, I mean, he was what, 18 or something at the time. He's in a glory school and we're ascending into heaven. He's following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes him into the treasury room and gives him, it was a BMW, a beautiful black BMW sports car in the spirit. This is just in the unseen dimension. So he thanked the Father for it. It was his favorite car. He always wanted one. And there the Father's giving him this. Now, some of you might struggle and say, now, why would God give an 18-year-old a BMW? It doesn't make sense. That's not very spiritual. Whatever. You'll have to go to the Lord with that one. But anyways, he gets his black BMW, and we always teach people, whatever God shows you, take hold of it, because it's substance. By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you see this, your expectation is there, you take it, it's yours. So he brought it back and he said, okay, I've got it now. I brought it, like when I descended, I've got this black BMW sports car. Now in his faith, it was as real as could be, because he had the substance of that black BMW. It was the substance of that car. He had it. And he shared it in the meeting. And I thought, okay. He brought back a black BMW sports car. Okay, brand new. Do you know that within a month he came to another meeting of ours, had his computer, he runs up to me with that computer and he says, I want to show you something. He shows me this black car. I don't know cars very well. Shows me this black car sitting in the driveway. He says, remember the glory school and I got the black BMW sports car? This is it and that's my driveway. It manifests in the natural. He took it out of the invisible realm and downloaded it into the natural realm and it was his. Well, then the Lord got me big time on that one, because then a week or two later, I'm in Dallas, Texas at a conference, and there was a woman that was at that conference that had been at our glory school, the same one. And she catches me in the parking lot during the break. She says, Patricia, I got to show you something. She said, I was at that glory school where the young man had the black BMW vision in the heavenlies. And I didn't want to say this because it seemed a little bit bizarre. But when I was up in the heavenlies, the Father gave me a black Jag, a brand new black Jag. And she said, when the young man shared, I thought, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Is this, you know, like, and she said, but he gave me this black Jag. When I flew home, my husband picked me up from the airport. I drove home and there was a black Jag with a boat on it in my driveway, and this is it. And she took me to the black Jag in the parking lot and showed it to me. I thought, those are good downloads. And we've seen people go in and get healed because they go in and get the healing in the heavens. They go in and get financial needs. They go in and get, you know, we've got things that we're laying hold of for rescuing kids out of the sex trade. We've got the project for xpmedia.com, the big network that's going to fuel the earth with the glory. We got all those out of the heavens, and now they're manifesting in the earth. Glory to God, you know. I mean, it's the only way to live. And so we don't live by the systems of this world, amen? And you can call those things that are not as though they are, because they're seen first in the unseen realm. Okay, now I want to show you Ephesians 1:3, and I want you to actually turn there. We mentioned it in a previous lesson, but I want you to actually turn to the scripture, and I want you to underline it in your Bibles, because it's one of my favorite scriptures, for one thing. But this is an important scripture for you to believe. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, is this some spiritual blessings? Every spiritual blessing. Now, listen carefully. In previous lessons, we have taught that through Christ's finished work on the cross, you have been given everything, all he is and all he has. It's already promised to you. It's what's been given to you in that covenant package. All of those promises are real in the unseen realm. They're spiritual blessings. The spiritual is the unseen realm. The unseen dimension is actually more real than the natural dimension. Even scientists are starting to say that now. They used to say, you know, what makes something real is if it's tangible in the natural realm. Now they're changing it because of quantum physics and that. And they're actually saying, scientists are actually saying that the unseen realm is actually more real than the natural realm. They're just finding out what we already knew. The unseen dimension is more real. The scripture says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. There's an eternal dimension of the word, the unseen word. And the word, by the way, is not English language or it's not Spanish language. It's like, it's substance. Word is substance. And we'll talk about that in another lesson, because it's important when you're understanding the unseen dimension. So every spiritual blessing means every promise. Say every promise. Every spiritual blessing is every promise in Christ, in the heavenly places in Christ. So everything that Christ died to give you is yours. You have already been blessed by it. You don't have to hope for it. I so often hear Christians say, oh, if only God would come through for me. Oh, if only this would happen. If only that. I thought, you already have it. God came through for you 2,000 years ago. There's nothing more that he can actually do. He's done it already. Now he's waiting for the church to go in and take those things and manifest them in the natural realm. The heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth belongs to who? The sons of man. And so he's given us the stewardship of the earth. When Jesus left, he gave the church the keys to bind and to loose. We have the keys of the kingdom to release heaven's blessing into the earth. We are the ones responsible for that, not God. Do you understand that? See, so often, oh God, come through. But the Lord's expecting us to come through because he put us in charge of this earth. He gave us the keys. He gave us Christ's authority. He gave us his own son. He did all of what he said he would do to make this covenant and give us the authority that we need. He's done all that. Now we have to move into it. That's why Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples, he taught them how to move in faith. When they had a need, saying, oh Lord, we've got all these people, they're so hungry, and there's no food. He says, you know, well, what do they have? And he taught them how to work a miracle. He taught them how to feed the multitudes, because they wanted to send them away. He says, no, you feed them. They said, well, we don't have any means. He said, well, I'll show you, you have the means. Don't say you don't have the means. You've got the means. I'll show you how this works. And he worked the miracle. Or he actually set them up to work the miracle, because they're the ones that gave out the bread and, you know, the miracle worked through them. He taught them, but it's just hours later, they're out on the boat in a panic because the storm's up and they think they're going to die. He walks on water, comes into the boat, settles the issue with the storm, and rebukes them for their lack of faith, for their unbelief. And he said, your hearts are hardened because you didn't learn anything from this miracle of the loaves and fishes. You're supposed to move into the miracle realm. You have the power over the winds and the sea. I gave you this authority. You have the authority. I gave it to you. You're supposed to be using it. And all through the Gospels, you will see that Jesus was teaching his disciples to work the miracles. And he said, And when I leave, even when I'm totally gone and not here to instruct you anymore, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. He will not only empower you, but he's going to teach you and lead you and guide you. So even though you don't have me in the flesh, you've got me in the Spirit. For what? So that they would do the miracle, so that we would do the miracle, so that we would take the dominion and the authority. We are called to do it. We are called to release our faith unto that end. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You already have it. You can't say, oh God, if only you would come through and give me this. You already have it. Say, I already have it. Let's prove this a little bit more. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us, has granted us, past tense. When was this grant given? It was given to you 2,000 years ago at the finished work of the cross, or through the finished work of the cross. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and to godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us, has already given to us, his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Glory to God. Everything that you need for life and to God and godliness has already been given to you. Everything righteous is already yours. Is healing righteous? Yes. Yes. It is corruption that gives us sickness and disease. It is the corrupt, fallen nature of man that opened the door to sickness and disease in the earth. But we're delivered up out of that. And if we learn to live by the exceeding great precious promises, we will overcome those things. What about poverty? Poverty is as a result of the fall. We're not called to poverty. We're called to prosperity. Every Christian should live in the realm of more than enough. Is there going to be lack in heaven? No. Well, Jesus said, pray in this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So inside of your life and your sphere of influence, all those promises are yes and amen. And he said, this is how you'll do it. You'll live by the promises. How do you connect to the promise? It's by faith. By faith. I have prosperity. I have more than enough. True Bible prosperity is enough to honor God with extravagantly before anything else. Enough to meet your needs and enough left over to help meet the needs of others. Every Christian should live in that zone. I live in that. I live in that. How? By faith. You say, well, how much money do you have in your bank? In my earthly bank, probably nothing. That's not how I live. I have everything. I can do anything I want to do. Whenever I'm inspired by the Spirit to do it, I can do anything. I have more than enough. Why can I say that with confidence? Because the Word says so. I believe it. I take it. And it manifests. I've lived this way for over 30 years. I know. It works. And it's the same with everything that you take hold of in the Spirit. I've watched God bring forth things out of nothing. Why? Because he gave me a promise and I believed it and I did it. The supernatural is operated by faith. When the Lord first showed me his promise, he quickened the promise. It says, faith comes by hearing. You can flip the page in your notes and it's on there. Faith comes by hearing. Faith has ears. Hearing by the word of God, the rhema quickened word of God. Sometimes that can be through the scriptures, sometimes a prophetic word, word of knowledge, whatever, revelation. But when the Spirit quickens word, it gives you faith, it imparts faith. And faith is when you have it. And I remember one day I was reading the scriptures as I was studying out this whole thing about the glory and third heaven and that. And I read out of Ephesians that I'm seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And that Christ is seated above all principality and power. He's at the right hand of the Father. And I was reading through those scriptures and all of a sudden I got that heavenly download. The lights went on. I had the revelation. I got it. I thought, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. I don't have to hope to go to heaven. I am in heaven. I am positioned in heaven. I can live out of a heavenly perspective. I can have experience with my God in this place. Why? Because the word says so. The promise told me that that is where I'm seated. I am seated in Christ right now in the heavenly places. It's so real to me. It's so real to me. Why? Because it's a reality. It's a spiritual reality. I saw it. Faith came in. It's mine. Faith comes by hearing. Faith entered in when I heard, when I saw, when I embraced that promise. Faith came. I was so excited because I'm a giver. When I get a revelation, I got to give it away to everyone. And so I was giving it away. Sharing it with everyone. Oh, look at this church. We're seated in the heavenly place with Christ. You don't have to hope to go to heaven. You are in heaven. Woo! You know? Let's see. I was down in the presence. I was seeing other scriptures like, you know, that we have boldness, bold access and all that. And, you know, unlimited access. I'm reading all these scriptures. I go, oh, wow! It's all through the Bible. You know, it's in there. We can boldly come before the throne of grace at any time we want. We have access through the blood of Christ. We're there. Woo, woo. I was so excited about it. I thought, we're here. We're here. We don't have to hope to be there. We don't have to hope one day we'll get beamed up. We're there. We can live out of that now by faith. And so I was all excited like I am right now. And a gentleman came up to me after the service, says, Sister Patricia. Always got to watch that, Sister Patricia. You can't tell people that they're in heaven. And I said, well, it says so in the scripture. She says, no, that's just positional theology. I said, well, I've never been to Bible school. What is positional theology? He says, well, like, it's your position in God. And I thought, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. This is your position. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ. It says so right here. It says, yeah, but not in real life. I said, you're confusing me. This is easy to understand. He says, he says, I don't see it like that. And I thought, aha, that is your problem. Because if you can't see it, you can't have it. But I see it, and it's mine. The secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children. It's mine! The Lord gave it to me by revelation, and you can't take it away. Woo! And so I started entering into heavenly encounter by faith. Why? Because I'd heard the word on it. I'd seen it in the scripture. It was mine. Woo! How do I access by faith? Ta-da, ta-da! I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. How do you know? Because I know! See, so often we're waiting for a feeling. Well, did the wind blow? Did you feel like an escalator feeling? What, you know, I don't feel nothing. I just believe. You see, when you're in faith, you step out of the natural into the spiritual with one step. Heaven is not eons away. It's one step of faith away. Woo! I tell you, when you get a heavy revy, you lay hold of it and you just eat it up and give it out and meditate on it some more and give some more out, and it'll grow, 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 and give you more experience than what you can even handle. Glory to God. I want to tell the whole wide world. That's the evangelistic part of me. Good news. Spill it out. Tell everybody that they can stand in the glory realm. That they can arise and shine because their light has come. Whatever becomes real to you, whatever you hear the Spirit say, whatever enlightenment comes to you, that's why when you're in a school like this, just say, Lord, open up the eyes of my understanding. Open up my hearing that I might hear. Because if I see it, I can have it. By faith. Everyone say, by faith.
By faith.
How do we hear? You know, God, He's so smart. He positions us. The only way we can hear is through intimacy, right? You have to connect with Him out of relationship to be able to hear. Otherwise, it's just head knowledge. You can read your Bible, study it out of the head, or you can go into relationship with Him and worship and ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight. And that's where you get the faith. That's where you get the faith. It's out of relationship. He sets the whole thing up so that you have to be in relationship with Him to get the revies. But when you get the revies, it's yours. That's when your faith comes. But He set the whole thing up so you can't do it without relationship. It's not about principles. It's about relationship. True heavenly faith is. Faith comes by hearing. So posture yourself to hear and seeing. If you see it, you can have it. When God opens up your eyes, that's why Paul prayed in Ephesians 1. He says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be opened. The eyes of your spirit open to see those promises, to see those kingdom realities. Because if you see it, it's yours. God said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, He said, look as far as you can to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Because if you see it, you can have it. Whatever you see, I'm giving it to you. Amen. What about Elijah? What did he say to Elijah? Elijah said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He knew he needed it. He had a job to do. He had to knock out Jezebel and all kinds of different stuff. And he needed a double portion. If you ask for a double portion, you better be ready to do the work that the double portion requires. And he cried out, he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And this is what Elijah told him. If you can see me after I am taken from you, you shall have it. But if you do not see, you will not have it. That's what it says. If you can see me after I'm taken from you, then you shall have it. If you can see Jesus after he has taken from you, you shall have it. If you can see the promise, even if you can't see it in the natural, but if you can see it, you can have it. I saw a promise when I was a new Christian. It was out of the book of Acts, and it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your house. The Holy Spirit quickened it to me. I believed it. That's what happens when you get those revies. You believe it. Be careful what Bible college you go to, because I've heard testimony that when people had those kind of heavy revies, they went to Bible college and the professor told them all the reasons why it wouldn't work like that. Just be a child and believe. When the Holy Spirit gives you something, believe it. So I believed it. I saw another one. It was quickened to me on the same day out of Psalms 2:8. Ask of me, and I will give to thee the heathen for your inheritance. I saw another one on the same day. 1 John 5:14 and 15. If you pray according to the will of God, he hears you. And if you know that he hears you, you know that you have the requests that you've asked of him. Woohoo! Well, we had some heathens in our family. Ron and I were the first Christians born on each side, born again. And the most heathen of them all was Ron's father. He liked to declare that, actually. And he was very emphatic about the fact that he was never going to become a Christian and that he was going to go to hell with his buddies, and he'd rather go there than heaven any day. He didn't want to hang out for all eternity with a bunch of religious folks. He wanted to be with his buddies in hell. This was his actual confession. And I just told him, because I had the promise, I said, you're not going to no hell. You're coming to heaven with us. And he'd get really upset. You know, got him mad. And he said, how do you know? I said, because I know. I've got the promise. I asked the big guy upstairs, and he's got you. You're coming with us. He says, no, I'm not. He says, no. You are, and you will. Well, when you're a young Christian, everything seems so easy. At least it did for me. And I thought he was going to get saved the next day. Well, many years went by. And instead of getting softer towards the Lord, he got harder. But you know, when you've got faith, it's not an issue. It was like, it didn't faze me. I thought, I know where you're going. I don't know how God's going to do it, and I'm not responsible for that necessarily, but I just know that you are going to get saved. Oh, he would get so upset anytime I mentioned it. And one day I had a vision of him dancing with Jesus. He liked to jive, right? And I saw him jiving with Jesus in heaven. I had a vision of this. And I says, aha, I got a further confirmation that you're going to be with us in heaven. I said, I had a vision today of you jiving with Jesus. I said, Jesus jives? And I said, well, that's what I saw. He said, I tell you, I'm not going there. I thought, yes, you are. Do you know that after many years, over 20-some-odd years, I phoned him up one day because he'd been sick this particular year. He'd been a very healthy person all his life, although a severe alcoholic, but his health was really good until this one year. And then he got sick in this one year. And I phoned him up one day to see how he was doing. He says, oh, I'm doing good. He said, I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to go. I said, ready to go where? He says, well, I'm ready to leave this earth. He said, I got everything ready. I got my funeral arrangements made, paid for, the kids looked after. You guys won't have to look after anything. Everything's looked after. I said, so you're ready to go? I said, do you have your ticket to heaven? Because I talked to him before about that. He says, yeah. And I said, well, you know what that means, right? He says, yeah. And I said, it means that you've received Jesus as your Savior? He says, yeah. I somehow thought it was going to be much more dramatic than that. Well, he's still alive. He's in a nursing home leading the choir. He's leading the choir in the church group. It's not good to go to heaven with no reward. See, the promise was real to me. I don't have any doubt. If you believe, you can have what you believe. It's yours. In fact, I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to think I'm being disrespectful. I just want you to hear how much I believe God at His Word. I believe Him so much with what He says in the Word that I'll say this. If I'm in faith on a promise, like for instance, let's say that I stood all those years believing in the Word of God for Ron's dad to get saved, and I get to heaven and find out he's not there. I so believe in the Word of God and the promise of God that I would say this to you, that if I did not see him there, I would be able to take God to court and say, you said this, but you didn't do it. Now, of course, we'd never have to do that. Of course, he's a righteous God. Now, some of you are saying, yes, but that's a person's will. Look at, if God did that to you, you don't have much to fight him with. I don't think any will of any person is that strong. God's just looking for a person to stand in the gap. A lot of times it's our cop-out when we say, well, you know, they got their will. He has his way of arm wrestling to that last moment. They might just squeeze through, but if you're standing on the promise, they're going to go through. I always tell people, you know, their Christians should never be afraid of their loved ones going to hell, because we're standing in the gap and we're not going to let them. We just won't let them. I just tell them, I'm not letting you go. You will be in heaven. You might have a lot to answer for when you get there, but you're going to get there. But do you believe? Or do you make lame excuses for why it might not work? Well, I know God said that, but, you know, after all, we make excuses all the time. Well, I know God said that, but that's what they say in a lot of seminaries. I know God said that, but it doesn't really mean that. It really means this. When God gives you a revelation, believe it. I would rather go to the grave believing than being skeptical all the way and believing for nothing because it might not be what he means. If he says it to my heart, I'm going to believe it. If he shows me something, I'm going to believe it. And you need this for the invisible realm, for sure. Faith sees. Faith speaks. Watch your confession. If you say you believe, then out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. You can always tell if a person believes or not by listening to them speak. Just, you can find out what they believe and what they don't believe. And so make sure you confess the Word of God. There's a difference between truth and fact. We talked a little bit about this in another session. Fact is the temporal realm, and truth is the eternal. It might be a fact, for instance, that someone has cancer cells diagnosed in their body. The truth is, by the stripes of Jesus, they're healed. This is the fact. You don't have to deny a fact, but just realize it's only a fact. But operate in the truth. If you live in the fact realm, that's what you'll get, but you want to live in the eternal realm. The eternal realm is the truth. It'll always manifest. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So let's say, worst case scenario, let's say you're standing on the promise that God gave you concerning healing for this person that you're believing for that's fighting cancer. And let's say that this truth, this eternal truth, doesn't manifest in the earth. When they take their last breath here, of course, on the next step over, it's going to manifest. Why? Because this is the truth. This is eternity. This is eternal. This will not fade. This will not fall. Now, we want to see more and more manifestations this side of time. That takes faith to birth it. One of the reasons why we don't see more miracles is because of unbelief. It's because, you just think about this. Most of the church, let's say even just in North America, most of the church doesn't believe in healing. Even most denominations don't believe in healing for today. The ones that do believe In many of those that believe, yes, it's possible for God to have miracles of healings today, among them they don't believe, but we can work the miracles. They believe in the sovereign miracles of God, maybe. And in the ones that do believe that Christians can go and pray for the sick and see them recover, most of them never pray for a sick person. And this is the North American church. When it comes to miracles, signs, and wonders, you've got even less. The prophetic, all those areas, there's a lot of unbelief. Most of the Christian church will tell you why something can't happen than why it can. You go to most Christians and they'll say, this cannot be God because of this. This cannot be God because of that. Oh, that can't be God because, oh, that's probably the occult. Oh, that's probably the New Age. They don't believe anything except Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And even that isn't functioning very much within the church, love. But when we start believing, you see, every person I believe for, every time I pray for someone, I believe something happens. I believe personally it is impossible for something not to happen when I pray. I believe that. But if a full manifestation of something doesn't happen, I'm not shaken in my faith because I believe it. I'm living in this eternal dimension, which is more real than the natural. So even though I can acknowledge this is a fact, there's still symptoms there, but I'm standing on here by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. And eventually this thing's going to fall down. The more I stand in faith, the more I fight this thing in faith, the more I take my stand of faith, it's like a battering ram against a brick wall or a cement wall. The more you batter against it, it starts to crack and eventually crumble. If the whole church would corporately rise up and believe everything that God said in his word, we would start to see healings like for everyone that's sick. We would see miracles all the time. One of the reasons why we don't is because we live in an atmosphere of doubt and unbelief, an atmosphere of skepticism, even and especially in the church. But we can change the atmosphere. If you have a home that's full of the atmosphere of faith, you'll see a blessed home. Yes. Things happen, and things happen quickly in a home that's got an atmosphere of faith, hope, and love. And we can create those atmospheres. You can create that atmosphere within your own spirit. Cultivate an atmosphere of faith within your own life, within your own heart. Everyone, I believe, that's fruitful in the body, you'll see faith, an operation of faith in that area that they're fruitful in. Because faith is what brings that about. Faith is what brings it into fruition. Faith speaks. Faith rejoices. When you're in faith, you'll be happy. I'm happy about experiences in the heaven. I'm happy about the angels that are in this room. I'm happy. Why? Because I believe. When you believe God's good stuff, of course it makes you happy. We've got to watch what our perspective too. Remember that God's a rewarder. He is a good God if you seek him. I know a lot of Christians that are afraid of everything. They read the word and they say, oh, did you hear that darkness is going to cover the earth and gross darkness the people? It's terrible. We're coming into those times right now. They read the scripture that says, well, Jesus said that there's going to be terrible tribulation in the end days. But he also said, be of good cheer because I've overcome that world that's going to be in tribulation. Isaiah also said, even though there's darkness covering the earth and gross darkness of people, the glory's going to rise upon you, light's going to come, nations will come to the brightness of your rising. You see, are we believing the true word of God in the true context? Read the whole Bible. Faith is thankful. When you're in faith, you'll be a thankful person. I think we're not thankful enough, are we? We need to be more thankful. Faith has action. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Faith persists and endures. When you believe something, you just stand on it. Like my father-in-law, I just stood on it over 26 years or whatever it was. I just kept standing on that promise. I wasn't shaken. I was enduring on that promise because I believed it couldn't fail. And people said, well, you know, he's getting old and he's more brittle now than he ever was. And he's hard-hearted, more harder than he ever has been. I don't care. The word says this, it can't fail. He's coming in. Every brittle little piece is coming in. Faith fights. Fight the good fight of faith. Wrestle things down. If you get thoughts of unbelief, wrestle them down. If you get circumstances come that are contrary to what you're believing for, say, hey, you'll be sorry you ever tried. Circumstance, you better turn around because you're not lining up with what I'm believing for. You're out of here. Fight it. Don't say, oh no, another symptom. Oh no, I prayed and I felt dull. And you know, just fight all that unbelief. And faith has rest. We have to learn how to live out of rest. You don't have to strive to have heavenly encounter. You don't have to strive to feel loved by God. Just rest and say, I am loved by God. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. I do have discernment of his presence and of the angels. I do, because the word says so. You don't have to, oh, I hope I can do it. Oh, God. Oh, you know. If you're in faith, you're in rest. Faith receives. When you pray, believe that you receive. When you get that revelation and you receive that by faith, it's a spiritual reality to you. Then walk in the reality. Amen? Does this sound good? How many of you got something out of this morning? Okay, why don't we right now just deal with our unbelief and doubt? Don't you just, wouldn't you just love to throw it out, you know, spit it up, whatever you have to do? We have a CD at our book table. It's called The Spiritual Cleanse. And it's a good one. You know, it's not the colon cleanse. It's a spiritual cleanse. But it's a deliverance CD that you can just soak under and let the word of God wash over you and get rid of some of that junk that's in there. It's a good one. And also Catching the Thief, which is our deliverance course, but get some of that stuff knocked out of you. But today we're going to go for the unbelief. And those of you that are watching by DVD also, let's just get a hold of this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just are so sorry for unbelief, doubt, and skepticism. In the name of Jesus, and for any way that we lifted up our own thoughts above the truth and the knowledge of the truth, we ask your forgiveness. And Lord, we ask that you cleanse us now from all unbelief and doubt and skepticism. Yes. Cleanse us, wash us clean, and fill us now with fresh faith. Fresh faith, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for faith that's entering now. Thank you for faith that is filling our hearts and our minds. Yes. Thank you for the faith that comes from relationship with you. Thank you for opening the word and showing us what is ours in you. Thank you, Lord, that we can enter into the realm of the supernatural blessings of the kingdom of God, because faith is the substance of what we hope for, and it is the evidence of the unseen dimensions. And so we receive faith now. And we thank you that as we walk in it, it will get strengthened in us. It will grow in us. It will enlarge and increase within us, Lord God, so that we can see the nations transformed because we believe in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you impart a spirit of faith in this place right now, too. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a big clap.
For more information about Patricia King and XP Media, visit us online at xpmedia.com. We look forward to building relationship with you. xpmedia.com.